your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Hey everyone, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Matt Geiger. In this segment, we're taking a little step away from the commodities sector and looking more broadly at some of the key drivers, news events, and even central bank meetings of next week. I'm chatting with Mark Chandler. He is a managing partner at Bannockburn Global Forex, also writes the Mark to Market blog. That's a blog I visit every day to get more or less a summary of what is catching Mark's eyes and some of the key data that is or should be market moving. Mark, let's start off with some of the political stuff that's happening next week. In the U.S., we have the Biden inauguration. We also have Janet Yellen's confirmation hearing. These are both two U.S. events. I'm not expecting too much to come on the back of Biden's inauguration in terms of market moves. Maybe there's some short-term volatility there. But what's going to be important about Janet Yellen's confirmation hearing?
I think the most important thing, but then again, I'm a foreign exchange guy at heart, that the most important thing from Yellen is when somebody asks her in her confirmation hearings about her stance on the dollar. I don't think she can simply repeat strong dollar policies in her U.S. interest or that old mantra. I think what she ought to do is just embrace and repeat basically the G7 and the G20 mantra, which is that the foreign exchange market, the foreign exchange prices are best left to the markets, while excessive volatility should be avoided. And I think that would also align the Treasury with the multilaterals and with our allies.
So is this going to be market moving then? Do you see any change in direction? The dollar has been relatively weak. Is that going to change?
Well, I do think that... I think that the dollar's trend, the near-term trend, has changed. When the dollar couldn't make new lows, when we had the issue in our capital, and we had the weaker-than-expected ADP data, repeated again last Friday when we had the soft headline data for the U.S., the dollar didn't make new lows. And so I've been thinking the dollar's been about to bounce in any event, and I think that Yellen's testimony, not talking the dollar down, why we buy a weaker dollar to help trade or why we want a weaker dollar because Fed is easing. If she just takes it from a broad picture of what the G7 and G20 best practices, I think that'll just add fuel to this dollar counter trend corrective bounce.
Okay. But again, you're not thinking that the dollar goes into some sort of bull market, do you? The dollar has been weak. It's due for a bounce. And that's really all you think it will be, is some counter trend bounce in a larger bear market move.
Exactly. So here's what I'm doing. It's not like revealing any like state secrets. I kind of think that move that began with the election and the reflation trade in early November has run its course. And so I'm just looking at different, say, Fibonacci retracements of those legs up. And so, for example, it could give us something closer to at least initially maybe 120, 120 and a half in the euro. Maybe in the Canadian dollar, it's closer to 129.
All right, let's take a look over in Europe, too, because there's also a couple political things going on there. We will hear about a successor to Angela Merkel. We also had the Dutch government resign. I don't know how market moving this will be, but kind of an interesting story where they have resigned because of a scandal, but they will remain in power until the upcoming March election that was already planned. Estonia, their government just collapsed. What's noteworthy about what's going to happen in Europe next week?
Yeah, I think that these political things in Europe, you mentioned Estonia, the Dutch government, the Italian government squabble, the change from Merkel. I think all these things really just bring the investors' attention away from the U.S. politics. Like you say, the inauguration is going to be primarily a choreographed display rather than any kind of policy of substance. So I think that as attention gets brought back to Europe, it'll just be part of the narrative that weighs on the euro.
So overall, then, it sounds like the euro, there's a lot of issues that's going on with the euro, isn't it? Including Brexit, which is also going through. I don't know what impact that will have on the euro, but overall, there seems to be this fractured nature about what's going on broadly in Europe. Is that fair to say?
I think so, but I think that, so for me, part of the story is not only do you have these political jitters or political, say, disturbances in Europe, But one of the highlights next week is the European Central Bank meets. And even though they're not likely to do anything, they can talk a game, and Lagarde might emphasize how the strength of the euro has been one of the factors holding down inflation in Europe. On the other hand, you know, we've seen this big rally in oil prices, and I'm sure that that dent offsets the deflationary impact from the dollar.
Okay, let's talk about some of these central banks then that are meeting. You just mentioned the ECB is meeting next week. So is the Bank of Japan. So is the Bank of Canada and the Bank of Norway. What is going to be the most important one to watch? And which one do you think actually might make some sort of a policy move?
Yeah, no, good question. So you got four central banks that meet. And I'd say the ECB is going to be more about talk. The Bank of Japan, you know, they've extended this emergency now to cover part of the country that hosts, or that's home to over half of GDP. So it's easy to see how the Bank of Japan could lower its qualitative assessment of the economy and perhaps even cut their growth forecasts for the coming year. That brings us to the two other central banks, which I think are sort of at the extremes. Canada, where the Canada had reported some soft employment data, and also with the new social restrictions, the new Bank of Canada governor has been talking about what he called a micro cut. And this has seemed to be a signal of a less than a 25 basis point move. So the question is really, where is the lower bound for Canada? And the idea is that somewhat lower than 25 basis points, but above zero. And so the market is beginning to price in a couple basis points of a cut. I know many people would say, well, what's the big deal about 10 or 15 basis points? Like, why are you even bothered doing that? And I don't have a good answer. I'm a bit suspect of the impact of it besides the signaling. But I would just point out that it's not that uncommon in the sense that last year, both the Reserve Bank of Australia and the Bank of England both cut, one cut 10 basis points, one cut 15 in sort of the last move. And I think maybe it's a signal as well that the central bank is doing everything it can do. So if Canada maybe surprises many people with a small rate cut, Norway is on the other side of the extreme. Norway is likely to be the first major central bank to raise interest rates, though not until the first part of next year. So in order to justify this, Norway central bank, is, to the extent that they comment on it, will likely talk about the resilience of the economy and the resilience of price pressures in Norway.
Is there anything that's actually going to throw these central banks off course of lower interest rates? Because this does sound crazy. Canada's going to potentially cut 10, 15 basis points. I guess that does matter when you're practically at zero. But overall, you're just tinkering. And I think you can make the argument these cuts, they're not doing anything. They're not helping anybody out. Maybe the markets, maybe big money institutions. But overall, like, I don't see that trickling down to anybody in any substantial way.
Yeah, no, I think so. And I think you're right, too, that we're sort of at more or less peak monetary policy. It's really done just about all it can do. Yes, it can scale up. But I think this is why the emphasis for the past, since the outbreak of COVID, after the initial monetary response, the real emphasis has been on fiscal policy. And I think this is where the focus is going to still be. We're going to see this, of course, in the U.S., with the new administration, but we're going to see pressure as the lockdowns in Europe get extended. There seems to be more pressure brought to bear to extend some of the other programs like the furloughs, the employment subsidies, maybe the universal basic income, that payment scheme that both the U.S., other countries, including Japan, tried. So I think you're right, and I think that it's why the creative element now goes back to fiscal policy.
So, Mark, let's talk a little bit about markets then, because at the end of the week, markets were looking a little weak, I guess you can say. This week, if you look at a very short-term chart, the markets, you could make the argument, are rolling over, but that seems to be a losing game to pick when markets are rolling over because the buy-the-dip mentality continues to be in play. But what is your outlook then for the U.S. equity markets as they do continue into this overly excessive bullish sentiment?
Yeah, no, it's true. I think, you know, you're right. You know, the markets are off to a decent start this year, even with this loss ahead of the weekend. I'm looking at the S&Ps, and it's still more or less holding the 20-day moving average, which it has held on a closing basis since like just before the elections. actually just after the election in early November. So I don't know what I don't really know what to say really about the long term. You know, we're still near the record highs that we made last week. A week ago, we were at record highs on the S&P. So should we consolidate? That'd be my best guess, is that we consolidate above maybe 3,700 or so in the S&Ps. But I think that one thing that I guess that a lot of people might not have taken into account yet is as we begin getting the earnings and some of the large U.S. banks reported earlier today, on Friday, that the dollar, which had been a headwind for U.S. corporates, now becomes a tailwind. And if you give me low interest rates, even if the 10-year yield goes up a bit more, but you give me these low interest rates, a weaker U.S. dollar, I think that corporate America is in pretty good shape.
Oh, that's an interesting comment. And we'll see how corporate America is. I know a lot of small businesses are just getting crushed during this pandemic, but some of the larger businesses that are able to remain open, they are doing quite well. So there is, unfortunately, this huge discrepancy between large corporations and the mom and pop shops. Let's wrap it up with a quick comment on commodities. We're getting a broad sell-off at the tail end of the week for commodities. You can say that precious metals have vastly underperformed the rest of the commodity complex. You look at base metals, even energy. Crude bounced and has held above $50 a barrel. Overall, commodities are showing that maybe inflation's around the corner, but their momentum to the upside has maybe slowed.
Yeah, so I would say, I just pick up a point before too. I think, you know, corporate America, these are the large companies. So if you look at the S&P 500, they have roughly the equivalent of $50 billion of cash apiece on their books. And so there's a lot of cash brought to bear. And so I think mergers and acquisitions will be part of it, which also helps, of course, smaller and medium-sized businesses through takeovers. And I think that you'll see dividends and share buybacks kick in again. But yeah, you know, the thing that strikes me about commodities is, I think you're right, oil made a 10-month high and consolidating. We've had a small, the U.S. Department of Agricultural survey of U.S. farmers, smaller plantings. And I think that actually helped some of the grains like soy and corn rally to 7-year highs. Now I'm looking at the CRB index. I'm looking at it today having made new highs just yesterday. And so, but I think you're right that the price action, it seems to be one that we should be expecting some near-term consolidation. But when it comes to like how we think about inflation, so I know that there's like this idea that, well, the raw materials, those prices go up. And so that makes the final product price go up, and all these final product prices go up, and that's where you have inflation. But I don't think things work quite that way. You know, you think about how much raw materials are in the goods that we buy, like a computer, a cell phone. Not so much of the raw material that determines the final price of the good. And so I think what oftentimes happens is rising commodity prices makes producers look for substitutes if it's going to be sustained and look to boost productivity or accept profit, a squeeze on margins. Well, that is to say, look for other places to cut costs. So I generally think that it's true that the rally in oil prices seems to me to be the number one driver of inflation expectations if you try to model them with, say, the 10-year break-evens. But in general, I think that we get this inflation scare here now in the spring, and then it eases. That we'll be surprised at how quickly supply comes back in line. You know, what we find is that a lot of these small businesses that fail, they start the entrepreneurs, the people, the men and women behind it, are oftentimes the risk takers that start another business. And so I think we'll see that to open up a restaurant, to open up a bar, a convenience store, hair salon, these are all relatively low barriers to entry business. And I think we'll be surprised at how fast that capacity can return.
All right, Mark, we're wrapping it up there. Thank you for taking some time on this weekend show. It's great chatting with you every Friday and really looking ahead and recapping some of the key news events that are moving markets or at least need to be considered by investors. Mark, have a great rest of your weekend. We'll chat again next week.
Good luck. Thanks a lot.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.